This is Amateur Logic, episode 219, for July 17th, 2026. Amateur Logic is brought to you by ICOM. Fun, sun, and QSO. From base stations to portable models, ICOM has the best radios for working your favorite bands this summer. Good evening. Welcome to another exciting episode of Amateur Logic. I'm George.
I'm Tommy.
I'm Neil.
And I'm Mike.
And we're proud to be back with you on another Friday night here with some wrap-up field day coverage from this year, some of the things that we had fun with. And Mike went into the mystery box there and pulled something out.
The box of unfulfilled dreams, is that what it's called, Mike?
The box of unfulfilled dreams, and it comes in this neat little container.
Oh, and that's not even square.
No.
Is it just me?
Marty's in the chat room, and he's watching.
Mike, I understand you have a news item to share with us. Well, I think it's news.
Yes. Actually, it would still be news up till 2031, I believe, is when the event will happen. This is about, scientists identifying an asteroid-based shortcut that could cut the Mars round trip to 153 days in 2031. I don't know if I would be all that comfortable doing that, but apparently it saves a lot of time. It'll be really interesting if they decide to take on that challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2031. I might still be around for that, I hope.
Yeah. Email.
George?
Have you had any events down there locally of which ham radio operators might participate in?
Why, yes. There was a local club that is closer to me that Glenn led me to, and we took a trip together. We did some antenna work over at his place, and took a trip over to a local park here to check it out.
Hello, George, Tommy, Mike, Amateur Logic TV viewers. I was at the Pearl River County Amateur Radio Club's 2026 field day, and we got to see some pretty interesting stuff. It was held out in the park in Picayune, Mississippi, and it was a sunny day, nice and warm, perfect field day weather.
I'm at the PRCARC Pearl River County Amateur Radio Club field day here, and they're in setup mode, getting ready for some stations, and I just so happened to run across a pretty cool-looking antenna here, made by...
Hi, I'm Brad. Alpha Foxtrot 50 November. I thought it was a really cool idea to set up a full-length dipole that is multi-band. I have it on your standard little chalk reel. You pull it apart, pull the line, chalk line out, and you set it up. When you get it to the right length, you just lock it down.
Oh, that's cool.
I currently have it measured out, so when I have 6 meters, 10 meters, 12 meters, I know how much wire to pull off. A nice way to do that is take your coax and mark your 6 meter, 10 meter, 12 meter line. So when you get it to where it's resonant, clip it down, lift this up, and run your SWR sweep. I found it's fairly decently wide-banded. This is a stainless steel fishing line.
Nice.
You can get it. It's trolling wire. You can get it from fishing supplies, Amazon, where I get a lot of fish.
So not only can you catch contacts, but you can catch fish, too, if you happen to be on the water. Nice.
Yeah, we have a little strain reliefs here. Of course, we had to use the fishing beads and fishing standoffs and your power poles, the greatest things ever invented.
Yep.
Keep the stress off of the connector. So we have strain relief here.
Nice. That is awesome.
Really cool little setup.
That's got to be quick to go and easy to operate.
Yes, sir. And
gotta love it.
And stores away in a small little container.
That's awesome. Well, we thank you, Brad, for sharing that with us,
man. Hey, thank you.
All right.
CQ Field Day here is Kilo 5. Pop on Romeo Charlie, CQ Field Day.
Kilo November 4, Uniform Papa November, QSL.
If you would give me the last three of the call sign one more time. I've got Kilo November 4, last Papa November.
Uniform Papa November.
U.S. Copy you. Kilo November 4, Uniform Papa November. We are 4 Alpha Mike Sugar. 4 Alpha Mike Sugar, QSL.
QSL, we are 2 Alpha Alpha Lima, Alabama. Repeat your call.
Yes, sir. Call here is Kilo 5 Papa Romeo Charlie. Kilo 5 Papa Romeo Charlie, QSL.
QSL, 73, thank you.
Also found at the Pearl River County Amateur Radio Club was this pretty stout looking vertical antenna that I'll find the person who's putting up. I can see they have the radials on there in progress being built, connections, the coax. So I'm sure somebody's probably working on tuning this up. I'll stand off the ropes right about midway. So pretty neat stuff. Let's go find them.
Oh, there, that last picture you saw there was some of us trying to work on tuning and the antennas. What fun would feel they be without having to make your equipment work while you're there, right? In the field. But overall, the weather was great. Had a good time. Good company. And a good club. Made contacts. There were some stations in the parking lot and what have you. So fun times. 2026 field day, Pearl River County Amateur Radio Club. 7-3.
The chalk box, yeah. Antenna, that's really cool. Yeah. And he didn't spare any money either on that. They were not cheap old man compliant chalk boxes. Did you talk to him about that?
I did not. I had to just admire it and like it for what it was. A Brad is something else.
Because we're only allowed to get the Harbor Freight ones.
I couldn't help but notice there were several arrows on the desk. Is that in case you get bored and you shoot each other's apples off their heads type thing?
I didn't stick around long enough to find out, but I'm guessing, yeah, or maybe shooting stuff over.
You know, I guess where they're at. There's no gators in the Pearl, is there?
No, not where we were. No, no, okay. No gators right there.
So did Don Wilbank show up?
No, I did not see Don. I was there on and off. Me and Glenn were working and doing some other stuff, but I did not see Don there.
I think maybe he works on Saturdays. I'm not sure. Yeah.
I don't know.
So you and Glenn have dual citizenship now? Two clubs?
Pretty much. In fact, I was just checking into the Slidell, the W5SLA net in Louisiana, but I'm slowly migrating over to this way in the southwestern Mississippi, George.
So I guess, I mean, because I remember when I was young, we barely ever heard of Picayune and really wasn't sure exactly where it was. That place must have really grown, and I bet a lot of the folks down there sound like you and Glenn.
Yeah, I'll bet you there's a lot of me and Glenn's around, and especially since after Katrina and some other events and things, but looking for higher ground, yeah. And other ways. But I love it. I love it out here, and it is growing for sure, absolutely, from what I hear and from what I see.
Yeah, cool, and got good amateur community down there. That's, you know,
I don't think I've actually ever been to Picayune.
I haven't. I've tried one of the cigarettes one time.
Cigarettes?
You know, they were Picayune cigarettes.
Are they left-handed?
No. There was a brand called Picayune. They had no filters on them. So they were shorter. And that was the strongest cigarette known to man. I mean, I took a drag off of it. And it was like razor blades going down your throat. It was so harsh, man.
Oh.
I only took one drag. That was enough. Man.
So a lot of love going on in that chat room in there.
I see that. Somebody must have fell asleep on the keyboard. Well, Tommy, we did field day too.
We did? I mean, yeah, we did.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was hot.
Now, you ask about the arrows, Mike, and were they using that? to shoot the antenna lines of Mill?
I'm sure. I didn't see it happen, but I'm sure that's what it's all about.
Well, Tommy and I will be looking at the videos of our antenna experiences. But what was interesting is after it was all over with and we packed up and Tommy headed out, and I still had a little more packing up to do, and I got through with all my packing, and I was putting the Glentenna back in a closet where I keep it. And lo and behold, we found a crossbow with a scope on it right there. And we had just been talking about we needed a bow and arrow.
We had a little bit of a different experience this year than we have in the past trying to get the antennas up. We'll cover that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Who
right now,
need a bow and arrow?
Yeah. We're going to look at the indoor part, the air-conditioned part of field day for us. Then we're going to go out and sweat.
Well, field day's over for 2026. It's been a fun one. Most everything I've had here is pretty much the same as before, but a few things are different. First of all, we got the same laptop, the same little yoga laptop I've used for years, with N1MM software on it. Got my 7100 over here this year. I didn't bring the 705 because George kept giving me a hard time about 10 watts. So I bumped it up times 10. It's done really well. And I've got my MFJ 939 tuner. Love that thing. The downside of the 7100 is there was no band scope, but I kind of forgot. There's a little bit of a band scope on here. If you hit the scope button, it runs across the band. There's not much going on right now, but it runs across the band and it'll show little peaks, and you can tune the little marker to go to where you see things. It's just not a live waterfall like you see on the newer rigs, like on the 705, Georgia 7760, stuff like that. But anyway, it worked really well. I guess I'm glad I brought it. Not necessary, but it's really nice having the band scope. I prefer the color one, though. But I got, like I said, I got my tuner. I've got my UKITS antenna analyzer. This has come in handy. We had a couple questions about some of the antennas being resonant on frequencies, so we use that. Use the same filters you've seen in the past. I brought my same MFJ power supply because if my battery I've been running off of went down, I was going to plug that into my Blue Eddy and then run off a battery through the power supply. And then the only other thing I got is I got my new little Relion 12-volt, 12.8-volt, 12-amp-hour battery. And I didn't really use it except for to charge to keep the tuner power. And then the other thing else I got is my homemade 50-amp-hour battery I made several years ago. And it's held up. Let me see how much battery's left in. I think it's got like 68%. Yeah, I can't really see that because of the color, but that's it. Anyway, that's pretty much it for me. It's been a really fun field day. Had a great time. Looking forward to next year.
So I use pretty much same gear as I have in years past. One of these filters, actually used a couple of them. We've got several for the different bands. These really do make a difference. If you've got several operators and you're working on multiple bands, putting these filters will help keep interference from the stations onto each other. Some bands, if they're separated properly, doesn't make that big a difference. Others, huge difference. Test equipment, Fluke meter, you always ought to have some of these, barrel connectors for your coax cable. Laptop running N1MM software, which we've used for several years now. Amanda recommended that to us several years ago, and it's been great. For the radio, I used IC7760. Only used one receiver on it. Right now you can see it's on 20 meters. The activity has kind of gone down on the band. There's still some on there. I use the voice keyer in it, so I've got voices set up for the things that I would say the most and save a little bit of voice by doing that. For the microphone, receiving and all, I use this, I think it's HyperX gaming headset that I bought a few years back, and made me a cable where I could plug it in. Another laptop, this one is running FT8. It's actually WSJT-X. There's no activity now because field day's over and everybody's gone home. So I don't see any signals down here in the waterfall or being decoded here. Also, I'm running N1MM on there. And the way that works is WSJTX and N1MM talk to each other so that whenever I make a contact on here, it automatically gets entered in the log and checked for dupes and all of that. And I've also got an old version of Ham Radio Deluxe here because I needed some way to get the cat control from the computer into this old Yaesu FT857D. Made some contacts on FT8, worked okay basically. Antenna's a compromise. I think we've got some video of the antenna in the outside. Same one I've used the last 2 years for digital modes. Need a better antenna. I did get two bands tuned this time. Instead of all bands operating like with 11:1 SWR, 20 and 40 meters were actually right around 2:1. So better than they had been. Of course, I had to use a tuner because of the antenna I'm using out there. You couldn't run it without a tuner for sure. So I've got my old LDG-100. That's good old standby. I bought that when I first got on HF. All the cables to hook all this together are homemade and in a jumble back here. I've got a couple of these LiFePO 4 batteries, same one Tommy showed a moment ago. I use two of these, one at a time, on the FT8 rig here. I brought three of these lead acid batteries, like you'd use in a UPS 9 ampere hours. I only used one of these, so I had two left over. I used both of these $11 batteries, which was a most excellent deal. And I did recharge one of them, so essentially I used these three times and one lead acid. Plenty of coax, plenty of sweat, but it wouldn't be field day without that. We did a little better this year than we've done in the past 2 or 3 years. I think maybe the bands were better, but I think our antennas were a little better this year, up a little higher, and Tommy had a different one. It was an enjoyable event this year, I thought. Seemed a little more productive this year. I was looking at the numbers, and as far as the FT8 station went, I don't believe I did as good. I need to go back and detune those antennas to 11:1 because it... I don't know. I got to do something different there. That's just not working for me. But overall, our score after all the numbers are added up and you do all your multipliers and all, we were around 1,242. So I think that was a new record for us.
It's not bad for just for us.
I know. And I just happened to catch the band just right and moved down to a spot in the extra portion of the band that was nobody talking, but there was somebody nearby, and just started running the frequency, and I sat there and did 100 contacts without getting up.
Yeah.
Just one right after the other. I wasn't able to repeat that later, but at that one sitting I did, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Having the voice keyer on your radio is a real breath saver.
Yeah. Next time you need to get your wife
to do the recording. Recordings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I figure a clever coding kind of guy could write some software to change your voice into a female voice.
Well, you could, or you just get AI to do it.
Yep.
Yeah, you can make it sound like whoever you want to.
They'd be kind of, you know how it is, they'd be kind of disappointed if they heard Zsa Gabor call him CQ, and then Tommy or I came back and told him 5'9", you know.
Especially from the grave.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To get back down more realistic here, have you got any news for us tonight?
Yeah, I saw something on the ARRL news site I thought was kind of interesting. We're talking about field day. This guy, he lives in a homeowner association neighborhood, I guess. The link for this will be in the show notes, by the way, if you want to go read it, where you could easily find it, ARRL.org/news. Fred Johnson's amateur radio operator in Riverside, California. Like many hams, he lives in a homeowner association-controlled neighborhood. So standard towers and conventional outdoor antennas aren't an option. So he tried several radios over the years without an effective antenna, rarely heard much activity. But after returning to HF last year, he enjoyed experimenting with antennas, station design, to see what's possible from a suburban backyard. Result was a 145-foot horizontal loop made from 14-gauge wire and on stainless cup hooks around the top of his backyard fence, about 6 feet above the ground. The wire is insulated from the hooks with the short piece of clear vinyl tubing. He normally has a low noise, S1 to S2. With his 7300, he worked 39 states, 24 countries, in stations through Japan, Hawaii, Samoa, Puerto Rico, U.S., Virgin Islands, South America, and North America, all from his homeowner association backyard. And the reason I brought this up is because I think it's a possibility for a lot of people that have homeowner associations that they have to deal with. But you can see there's the antenna wire right there. Several several pictures of it here.
Oh, there's two wires. Is one of them a ground?
I don't know.
That's going to be an NVIS antenna, but yeah,
there's the hooks he's talking about.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's if you got there, where there's a will, there's a way. It's probably not the best performing antenna, but obviously it works.
Yeah,
it worked for Fred.
But you can get on if you really want to bad enough. You can find a way.
Well, there's a picture of the hook with the. I was thinking he put it over the wire, but he actually put it over the hook itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Oh yeah, and the balance or the chokes are a good idea there too.
Yeah, I gotta do that myself.
Yeah, me too. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Fun, Sun, and QSO. From base stations to portable models, ICOM has the best radios for working your favorite bands this summer. Whether outside enjoying sunny skies or inside by the AC, stay cool with ICOM. Kick back, enjoy the breeze, and make those QSOs with ease. The ICOM IC705 brings portable performance to operators who want HF, 50 MHz, VHF, and UHF capabilities beyond the shack. Compact, lightweight, and multi-mode, it supports single sideband, CW, RIDI, AM, FM, and D-Star DV, giving hams the flexibility to operate from a field day site, a campsite, a park, or a compact contest station. For contesting and field day, the IC705 is an excellent choice because it combines portability, operating versatility, and real-time band awareness. Its spectrum scope and waterfall display help operators find activity quickly, while its broad mode and band coverage support a wide range of contacts. Whether used as a club setup or a personal portable station, the IC705 delivers capable ICOM performance when every contact counts. Heard it, worked it, logged it. For more information about ICOM's amateur radios, visit icomamerica.com/amateur today.
That's my favorite little radio. It kind of hurt my heart not taking it to field day this year.
It didn't hurt your score, though. That 7100 performed admirably.
Mm.
It did.
It did okay.
Yeah.
But I like the 705.
Well, you had a lot more contacts, though, with...
It was 100 watts rather than 10?
Yes.
That was like me running field day a couple years ago. Remember, I think I got... Well, it was under 20 contacts, I think.
Well, I mean, it wasn't all about the power. Part of it was a frequency thing, but...
The antenna?
Well, that too. That helped out.
It helped a lot. Think.
Yeah.
I had way more wire in the air.
Yep. Okay, speaking of wire in the air, we did have to get the wire in the air.
Finally. Yeah, we did have to get it up there. We did. Mm-hmm. I'll agree with that.
You can listen with it laying on the ground, but you can't talk very well with it.
How did y'all get it in the air?
I am glad you asked. Now, there's no audio with this, right?
Nope, not much.
Just us.
This is the obligatory drone footage.
Yep. So this is where we operated from, out in the country like we have the last two or 3 years.
The brick and
mortar tent. Yep. And look, is that a piece of wire I spot in the top of that tree there?
That was a phone. That was a power line we just saw.
No, yeah, not the power line.
There's a wire right there. This is pretty much the whole site overview where the three antennas were.
And you notice how green it was this year?
Yep.
That's because it's been raining like every day for a month. When field day came, we were out there with rubber boots on.
There's George's. It's pretty much in the same spot it was. We got a little bit higher this time.
Yep.
But that antenna always works pretty well. Yeah.
80 meter off center fed.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
That's a lot of wire.
It's pretty visible. What is that, orange?
No, that is just a piece of nylon cord, that 3,000 feet of cable, or not cable, but cord I bought at Slidell, I think, and okay. Zip cord. The antenna was zip cord.
Next up, we got the Glantenna coming up, I think.
Yes. And...
Wow, I left a little bit too much space.
You know, Glenn, you and I are going to have to talk about that antenna, man. I just can't get it to work like.
Maybe we need like Glenn to come have field day with us. The antenna whisperer.
Yeah.
I always thought you called it the Glenn antenna because he was the guy that showed up to put it up, and he was the one that showed up to take it down.
Yep. And there's a custom tripod that was tied to. That was a speaker tripod.
Guide off.
Yep.
It did move it a little bit closer this time than it was before. Kind of a little bit.
Yeah. That's Tommy's antenna. What is
that? It goes down. It's a 40 meter off center fed.
Is that a guard tower?
That's a deer stand my son is building.
So I got till next year. Hopefully he don't go deer hunting between now and the next field day.
Yeah, I think that's going to end up in the woods somewhere, but you can tell he hadn't finished yet. Or it needs a little more paint.
Yeah, but it worked pretty well. It was a sloper from there, from that tree down to the top rail of that deer stand.
Yeah.
Is that a ham shack deer stand? Got a radio in it, like VHF?
No.
Okay.
It could. He has a license.
Nice. You gotta hook him up.
And the metal railing, you could, set you a mag mount on there, work a little 2 meters.
So he's building that?
Welding
it?
Yeah.
How's he gonna get it to the back?
That's a good question.
So it's probably still gonna be sitting right there.
No, it's not gonna be sitting right there. I guarantee you that. They're gonna take it back in the woods. Probably put it on a trailer, laying it over.
All right, we're about to get real with it.
Who says we don't know how to dress down here?
Yep.
Rubber boots and shorts.
I mean, he could go straight to the pond from there.
You ready, June Bug?
I'm ready.
Oh, yeah. I did. I inhaled some kind of bug.
He's coughing through half of the video.
Yeah.
Trying to cough that bug back up.
Yeah.
I lost my mojo, man. I did really good with the fishing rod, but this year I just couldn't hit it.
Can you walk it down there?
Maybe it was the boots.
That's what it was.
Might as well take this
Could have been the those buzzard-sized mosquitoes, too.
Yeah. Whoa. Wrong tree.
And that was no sound effects there. That was a real thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, that was real. Great cast, but it hit the wrong tree.
Is it a good one? I don't know. I can't see yet.
I found one tick on my arm, but that's all.
Was it bedded in?
No.
Just flipped it.
Yeah, it was crawling.
Yeah, if we'd put that other antenna up, there'd probably been more. We'll talk about that, I guess, when we get to the other. Yeah, I was, like, throwing that thing everywhere, man.
I think I'm over that longest when it comes out the widest.
I got plenty of practice casting this year. Just didn't get improved, though.
2026 street vision.
And that's only part of it, because we were out there throwing, casting that sucker for a long time.
Yeah.
We being this guy.
Yeah, but, you know, I was like this for like an hour. Things are going along pretty fast. It looks like you're going to be through way ahead of time, and then every time something ends up taking longer than you had planned.
Yep. I see Mark in the chat room says he has a wrist rocket he was going to use.
We had one, too.
There was Happy was trying to prefer a potato can. Yeah, we had one, too, and we actually started out trying that. No, we didn't. That was after the fact. So I tried the... Look.
Which one did we do first? Yes, that's what we needed.
Still got the original, and it still works. That's amazing.
Anyway, we tried the rod and reel first, and then you went and got the slingshot.
Yeah.
But it didn't do much better, because I think the fishing line on my reel...
What's that?
It's so old. It's 20-something years old, 25 years old.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of dry rotted, and it's got those little curls.
We should have hit that thing with WD-40.
Should have put some fresh line on there.
Yeah.
I'd be boxed.
So we probably did this one first.
Casting Classic.
We did
2026. We did this one first.
Probably not a bad idea.
It was so dark, you didn't need sunglasses when we did that last one.
I have no idea where it went.
Just right over there.
Matter of fact, that's why the antenna, the video kind of didn't get all the way to the end of the installation, because it was getting dark.
Shot two.
Who's counting?
His second cast.
Oh, number two.
I said, who's counting?
Oh. Two doesn't even begin to count it.
That's going to start getting warmed up.
He's going over this electric line. He's wearing rubber boots.
Dang.
It
kept going over that power line.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's in the right spot.
Nah.
Gosh, dog, I have lost my mojo, man.
He did, and he never found it.
I never did. I think it went over the tree.
Out.
You seen Happy Gilmore?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic.
We might have to roll with that. That's up pretty good, man.
That went on, what, another 30 minutes?
At least.
Yeah. It's another one of our Glenn dragged me into it stories here.
Glenn.
Yeah, Glenn has a bad habit of dragging me into all sorts of things. And the most recent thing he's dragged me in is to the Gulf Coast Mesh, which is a group of guys, repeaters, equipment, et cetera, all from the Gulf Coast, from Louisiana all the way down to Florida, of a mesh, using mesh core, right, and devices. Well, I picked me up a device. Glenn's made me spend money. And he's got it. He's on it. And, you know, what really dragged me in, from what you could probably hear earlier, there's a dad's joke channel on this mesh network.
But
the real reason, however, that I want to get there is to really learn about propagation on the ISM band up on 915. You know, I think it's 910 megahertz here, 910.5. So I'll be warning you now. I'll probably be figuring that out and getting on that mesh because it looks pretty extensive. I'm sitting here watching the live traffic going all across the South Louisiana and traveling over to, through to Florida. So, well, pretty interesting thing from what I see, but it's all Glenn's fault.
We can go with that.
And just like the Glenn Tenna.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Glenn Tenna. he did tell me to let y'all in on the secret, though, because every time we do use that antenna, George, we do have my 1,200-to-1 auto tuner behind it.
Oh.
Well, now I had an auto tuner on it, and it was necessary.
Yeah.
But
how many bands is it supposed to cover there? I saw a lot of whips on there.
Darn near all of them.
Yeah, I think it's 8 bands. Go all the way down to 80 meters. Mm. And you know that's got to be a heck of an antenna at 80 meters.
I mean, I'm telling you, and I'm not lying to you, we sit in the middle of a field in Covington every year. Like for 5 years in a row, we made contacts with that antenna all the time.
So what have you been playing with lately, Mike?
Well, I've been playing around with this little gizmo.
Seed Studios SenseCap K1100. For today's segment, we're going out to the greenhouse. I've been sitting on this project for quite a while. In fact, it's been sitting in my box of unfulfilled dreams for probably close to 2 years now. And I fiddled around with it a little bit, but I never put it to any serious use. Anyway, this is the SenseCap K1100. It's a sensor prototype kit. It's from Seed Studio, and it kind of comes with everything you need to kind of get started. It comes with 4 sensors and a LoRaWAN communications module, and we'll see more about that shortly. These next few slides go over the process that's needed to set up the system, which includes the WIA terminal, which is the little LCD display, but it's also basically the brains of the whole system. So you plug the sensors into it, and it provides all the processing power that's needed for all of the data that you're capturing. One thing to note here is the device supports both LoRaWAN and Wi-Fi. The SenseCap K1100 comes nicely packaged in this plastic container. I must say that I am impressed with the documentation that comes included with the package, and there's no shortage of links for help and support. You can see that everything's neatly contained within the package. They've even included all the cables that you need. The system is compatible with various Grove sensors, but they've included these 4 sensors to get you started. Included in the kit is a temperature humidity sensor, a volatile organic compounds or chemical air quality sensor, moisture sensor, and a vision sensor. It also includes the LoRaWAN communications module, as well as the WIO terminal. In addition to the ability to connect various external sensors, there are built-in internal sensors as well. There is an infrared emitter, a light sensor, and also an accelerometer. In addition to the directional pad on the front of the unit, there are several switches, 3 on the top for uplink process sense, and on the side there is a power on-off switch / reset switch. Also note there is a micro SD card slot. Here is a diagram showing the WIO terminal and its internal components. It basically indicates all the various connections, sensors that are built on board. These next few slides show you how to prepare your WIO terminal for use. The 3 buttons on top of the WIO terminal select between the Sense, Process, and Uplink menus. Navigation through the various menus is performed by using the directional pad on the lower right-hand side of the screen. Pushing the center will enter your selection. When a green box appears on the page, it indicates the content is in the selected state. If you try to connect the grow sensors in the kit to the grow connector on the right-hand side, the WIO terminal, you will find that the WIO terminal will automatically detect the type of sensors and read their values. This page is mainly for the recognition and model processing of the Grow Vision AI module, which we won't be using today. The main function of the uplink page is to upload data to the cloud. Users can configure which IoT method you want to use. After you flash SenseCraft to the WIO terminal and power it up, wait a few seconds and you will be able to see the values of the built-in sensors directly on the Sense page. We're going to ensure that the data is being sent out through the LoRaWAN, and we do this by pressing the rightmost top button to enter the network tab. With LoRa highlighted on the display, center press the directional keypad to select LoRa and plug in the Grove WIO E5, which is the LoRaWAN communications module, to the Grove connector on the left-hand side. Now, if you're located in North America, select the US 915 MHz. Now it will prompt you to bind the WIO E5 with the SenseCap platform. In this next step, depending on the device we're going to be using, we'll either go to the iOS App Store or we'll go to the Android, which is the Google Play Store. Since I am using an Android device, I downloaded the SenseCraft app from the Google Play Store. If it is your first time using the SenseCap platform, you'll need to register an account first. Please select the global version when registering. Okay, you kind viewers, you caught me. This is not the greenhouse window. Originally, when I intended to do this project, I planned on putting everything inside the greenhouse and measuring temperatures, humidity, and so forth, but I found that I wasn't within range of a Helium network node, which is a LoRaWAN network. So I had to resort to sticking it on my third floor office window. When it comes to communications, this setup is quite extensive in the number of networks that it's communicating through. First of all, the device transmits via a LoRaWAN device, connects to a Helium network, which is then bridged to the internet. And from the internet, I'm connected with my mobile app through the cellular network. So there's a lot going on here. There's about four networks that it's going through. When you first launch the SenseCraft app, you'll notice that the device that you've bound to, being the K1100, is initially showing offline. It takes a few seconds, maybe a minute or so, to connect to the network. So don't be alarmed when you first see this message that it's offline. Okay, we're showing online now, and that means we're connected to the device. So we should be able to capture and see our sensor data. We're now receiving data from our temperature humidity sensor. And also you can see there's an accelerometer reading as well from the built-in sensor. Here is a more detailed view showing our actual values from our sensors. And down below is a histogram or a history graph of our temperature. Now is probably a good time to point out, see that little gear in the upper right-hand corner? You can change your units, their measurements, as they appear on the display. And also, down below, there are three kind of buttons, day, week, and month. Over time, that will build up a history, kind of like a data logger of all of the readings. And you can change the display from day at a time, week at a time, or month at a time. This is a pretty neat little setup, and as you can tell, there's a lot going on here and certainly warrants spending a lot more time experimenting this and maybe connecting different types of sensors to it. I probably should do a whole segment, and it's easily dedicated to a whole segment on Helium and the network itself. It's pretty interesting how the Internet of Things devices are able to connect so easily today. Well, once again, that's all for now. 7-3 from VE3MIC.
Up in smoke.
You know, with all that talk I was doing about buttons, it was all I could do to contain myself, to stop myself from saying, if you tap that thing,
Yeah.
it's kind of the natural thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
But don't do realize it, man, that because you'll never live it down. Trust me. Yeah. You will never.
I don't know if you noticed that, Tommy. I had to put that little dig in there. I know I tease you a lot about leaving those screen protectors on the LCD displays.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that.
I do the same thing, by the way. And if they start looking a little ragged, that's when I tear them off.
Same.
I generally leave them on.
Yeah, I'm pretty bad about that.
I still have the one on my Rig Expert antenna analyzer.
Really?
That came on it, and I've had that thing, I don't know, 10 years?
And you know what? When you pull it off, it's like, oh, wow, that thing looks really good.
Yeah, that's much
like
better display. Yeah.
I got caught once because I had it was a Micronta multimeter. And it had one of those plastic, like the whole front of the meter was actually kind of similar to your Rig Expert antenna analyzer. It just didn't cover the LCD part. It covered most of the front.
Oh.
And I went to remove it about 10 years later, and I had a real hard time at getting it off.
Wow.
It really bonded to the plastic underneath.
I've got an email.
A real one?
A real one.
Get out of here. It didn't come from Facebook.
No.
Me?
This actually came through the mail.
People still use that, huh?
This came from overseas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Now, it didn't come in an envelope. It was transmitted electronically.
Email?
Email.
I've heard of that.
What?
Yeah.
Me?
No, no. Oh. No, this. This.
Got it.
So...
But that's not email. That's a piece of paper.
But it's got writing on it. See?
Oh.
And on this one, you can even see the writing. How about that?
You can print email?
Yes.
Look out.
And this is...
Think of next.
They refer to this as a hard copy, even though you can tell it's not really. This is some pretty flimsy
paper. It's more like
paper.
A floppy copy.
Yeah. This is the world's thinnest... I don't know. My mother bought this somewhere.
Yeah, that's some thin paper. That's almost like...
It's like
old,
cigarette.
Typewriter onion skin paper.
It's a big giant rolling
paper.
Yeah,
this is rolling paper, man. I mean, it's so thin. Dear George, I've been watching your videos with great interest. Thank you. I'm 85 years old and only work CW. I had to rewire my MFJ949E antenna tuning unit. Wiring blobs failed. And it was 1996 when I bought it. And yes, there probably are some wiring blobs in there. Mm-hmm. And I would say, yes, sooner or later, you probably will need to work on your MFJ949 antenna tuner. Yours has already been worked on, Tommy. Yours is not a 949, but I have worked on it.
Okay.
So, tighten all the screws up, all that kind of stuff. I have renewed the two diodes for the meter in there. As a matter of course, 1N39A, all looks good, but it goes straight to reflected power on all settings. I'm told that the inductor coils should not be earth, but... I put the question to Google. The manual, though, says in the schematic that it should be grounded. Have you any advice? As you can see, there is the inductor coil. It's a tapped inductor. It's not a continuously variable, but you can see the bottom end of it is to ground or earth. You flip the switch there. You're just tapping the ground to different points up and down that inductor. And at the top of the inductor, there are two capacitors, one on the left and one on the right. This is a classic T-network design, and practically always that inductor always has one end grounded. Some might have a capacitor in there, but that's be pretty unusual. I told him, yeah, I believe it should be grounded. And looking at the schematic there, I don't know why his meter would be pegged on reflected power. Don't have a good answer for that, but hopefully he is able to figure it out. He said he was a pilot. I don't know what year that was.
Was he a pilot with a flight simulator?
He was a pilot with the Merchant Marines.
Yeah.
Okay.
A boat.
He was in the Navy.
Yep. He was not a radio operator. He was an actual pilot.
You know, at the in the ocean, they have, over Virginia, we used to have a lot of them out there. Pilot boats, they would come in and guide the others in.
Yep. Same thing in Miami with the cruise ships. They have the tugboats with pilots on board. Actually, the pilot comes on board the tugboat, goes on board the big ship, and actually steers the ship through the channel. So they kind of take over for the whoever's in charge of the, whether it be the captain, the first officer.
M1EDF.
Cool. Hope he gets his problem with his tuner fixed up. Curious to find out if he finds what the problem was, what it is.
My very kind regards, Jeff. Well, thanks for the email, Jeff. And, you know.
Thanks for the pictures, too.
Yes.
The pictures are always great.
I did not have an answer to the question other than, yes, it should be grounded. So hopefully he's figured it out. Been very hot here. I think the heat index is going to be around 110 in the next few days here. And you might be tempted to go without a shirt. It is so hot.
But please don't.
You will get sunburned if you're not careful. Now, how could you prevent such an occurrence?
Shirt it up. You just got to shirt up, man.
But what if you didn't have a shirt? Or you didn't like the ones you had. You needed something really stylish.
You need to get a cool shirt because it's hot.
It's summer, and you want to look your best.
And you want to feel cool.
Yep.
So go to the Amateur Logic Swag Shop at shop.spreadshirt.com/AmateurLogic. And you can get cool shirts there. You can even get jackets there if you're into that. If you live like in Antarctica or something. But anyway, shop.spreadshirt.com/AmateurLogic for all your cool summer and winter. You're below the equator, it's wintertime.
But we do have hoodies there.
We do have hoodies, jackets, all kind of cool stuff. Anyway, go check it out. You'll probably find something you like.
And I want to remind everyone, if you would, if you're watching on YouTube, there's a little share button down there. There's also a like button. Not down there, Emil. I don't know what's down there. We're not going to talk about that. But the people watching on YouTube, at the bottom of your screen, yes, there's a share button. If you'd click on that.
Especially if you're watching the released one.
Yep.
It doesn't do so much on the live
stream. No, not on the live stream.
It's going to go away shortly. Yep.
Tomorrow, it'll be posted. If you click that, grab that link and share it with some of your friends, we'd really appreciate it. Click the like button. You know, whatever you can do to help us spread the word, we'd appreciate it. You might want to know when the next episode's going to be, or just kind of find out what people are talking about in the Amateur Logic community. You can find that at facebook.com/group/amateurlogic.tv or...
You can follow us at Amateur Logic on X, or formerly known as Twitter.
Or groups.io/g/amateurlogic.
Email.
And what about Instagram? Email. Instagram.
I don't know about.
Amateur Logic. We're at Amateur Logic on Instagram.
But you're not going to find out when the next episode is if you go there. Just to be fair. Also, if you want to know what was in a particular episode, like that one we just watched before the live stream tonight, which if you're watching the recorded version now, you didn't see that, but that was Clyde Hanley, a guy who worked at WLW during the 500 kilowatt days. There's a place you could go and get the show notes from all the previous episodes and find out what we talked about. If you want to know when we covered a particular topic, good chance you'll find the answer right there.
Amateurlogic.tv/wiki.
Yep.
I used the wiki only a couple of days ago, even.
I used it today. I don't remember what I was looking for, but I found it.
You had found it for you.
Yep.
Did you find yours, Mike?
Yeah, I was looking for that episode that I did for the, what is it, the PRC-12 antenna.
Okay.
And found it.
Cool.
And that's how I knew it was 3 years old rather than 2 years old.
Tommy, any final thoughts before we get out of here tonight?
No, I got some fun stuff coming up. I can't wait till tomorrow morning. I'm going to get up and work on it. I want to let the cat out of the bag, but looking forward to my next segment.
Okay.
So anyway, other than that, just been kind of playing around with the ham radio stuff and solar panels and all kind of cool stuff. Having a good time.
Cool. I've got several projects going on right now. I don't know which one we'll talk about next, but got plenty to keep me busy. And I'll have something on the next one. We'll also have another episode of Ham College coming up very soon. I talked to someone on 80 meters last night.
Yeah.
And he wanted me to, he thanked you and I for Ham College. Due to our efforts there, upgraded to extra.
Oh, awesome.
Yep.
Graduate.
Yep. So the next episode, I don't know. What do you think? July the 31st. Next episode of Ham College. So that's in a couple of weeks. We're studying for the general right now. So, and we're just two episodes in. So if you're a technician and been thinking about getting on HF, perfect timing now. You can go check out Ham College, and we're just beginning studies on that. Email. Any thoughts? I noticed you put on your glasses there. It must be getting serious here.
I just can't wait to figure out some things about the 915 megahertz ISM band with that mesh core. It's got me intrigued. Glenn knows how to really rope me in. So I want to see what propagation is all about up there.
That, I'll be interested to hear your report on that, because I've been running 950 megahertz studio transmitter links for a long time, and I know how they behave, but every one of them is point-to-point with dishes, so you don't hear anything, hopefully, except where you're pointed. It'd be nice to hear how that band operates, so outside of that application.
So which mesh core are you guys using? The new
meshcore.com? It's mesh core devices, basically. And there's a whole bunch of people on it from what I see.
.com or .co.uk?
Gulf South Mesh.org. I get to learn all of that fun.
It's getting mighty meshy in here.
What a mesh.
Yep. Mike.
Well, the only thing I have to say is get on the air and stay hydrated in this heat. I'm going to see about maybe getting a helium node on the air, or I guess you could call it that, because that has me intrigued. And I know we looked at that helium network about a year or so ago, and when it was kind of newish. But I don't know, it's still around today and growing, so it might be the next best thing since the internet. So
it's free. It is free to get on.
It's free to get on.
Interesting.
Apparently there's a way to monetize it too. I haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, I had read something about it probably a year ago, and I don't remember any of the details, but at the time it had me a little intrigued as some applications I might be able to do with it.
Isn't that thing we talked about that time they had those antennas popping up on the mountain?
I think it was, yes.
Yep, it was.
Yep. So, Mike, yeah, you should put up a node there. And you know, if all you need to do is talk out to the greenhouse, that's okay. Maybe, I don't know about your neighbors, I don't think any of mine would ever connect, but who knows, you know, you got it out there. Maybe somebody
really don't know who would connect.
Yeah.
Well, I was surprised when you look at the map for the helium network, even in my, not my immediate area where I reside, but where I work, there's all kinds of nodes, and I'm wondering, what are these people doing with them?
Yeah, that's going to do it for tonight. Thanks for being here, everyone. Join us again next month.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
In August. We hadn't picked a date yet.
Probably that one.
Probably the middle one.
Probably, yeah, there's two middle ones, so it's going to be one of those.
Just before Huntsville?
Yeah, what day is Huntsville?
21. 21st, so it's going to be 22nd? The 14th.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. 7-3, everybody.
7-3, everybody. Good night.
7-3.
7-3. What?